There once was this little girl, and she went to the mall with her mom. It was during Christmas, so it was Christmas time. And so she went to the mall, and she sat on Santa Claus's lap. And she's in the mall, and Santa Claus looks at her, and he's like, "What would you like for Christmas?" She looks at him and says, a big, huge list of things she would like for Christmas. And they were expensive toys. And without a word of appreciation, she jumps off and leaves. And her concerned mother spoke quickly, and she's like, "Honey, are you forgetting something?" So the puzzled girl looked and thought for a second. And then she said, "Oh yeah." She turned back to Santa Claus and shouted, "Charge it." I want to tell you that God has already charged our sins to Jesus' account. You can say charge it because the real Santa Claus is God. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Have you ever wanted somebody to pay your debts for you? I remember seeing my dad every month, and he would sit in the dinner table, and he'd just sit there with a calculator and a checkbook in his hand. And he had this look on his face, and he would always say, "What am I gonna do?" You know? And well, I can tell you that Jesus has paid for your sins. He's paid for my sins with the blood he spilled on the cross. I was using the computer the other day. I had to answer these essay questions. And, well, I had to spend like 2, 3, 4 hours on these questions. And so I was about to finish. And I don't know, the computer crashed. I don't know, but I lost everything, you know. Now, from that lesson, I learned to always say before, you know, what you're going through. But so I lost everything, you know, and I couldn't get it back because once something's deleted, it's gone forever, you know. Well, that's exactly what Jesus Christ does to our sins when we ask for forgiveness. They're gone, you know, they're gone forever, deleted, forgiven. In Psalms 31, David said, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. Those sins are covered." Also in verse 2, he says, "Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him." Aren't those verses special? He doesn't count your sins against you. We really serve an awesome God. But how do we get forgiveness? Do we just kneel down and pray and ask for forgiveness and then go on with our lives? There was this guy, and he frantically wanted to lose weight. So he decided, you know how the pastors always like tell you, if you have problems, pray to God. So he decided he was going to pray about it. And so one day, right in the morning, he woke up, and he bowed down for prayer and started praying. He said, "Jesus, help me lose weight." And got up and walked to breakfast. For breakfast, he had 3 bowls of cereal, bread, and 2 pieces of pumpkin pie. For lunch, he had 3 burgers, 2 slices of cake, and a Diet Coke. For dinner, he had fried chicken and pie and Coke. And then at night, he bowed down again and said, "Jesus, help me lose weight." Now, is that the way to pray for forgiveness? Do you pray and then go on and do exactly what you're praying not to do or forgot to forgive you for? Well, to truly be forgiven, we have to go and give God our lives. And because God is the only person that can forgive us and help us change. When God forgives us, we are totally free. We're totally free of sin. It's like they never existed. Micah 7:19 says, "You will hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea." When God pardons, he pardons in a big and complete way. Our sins are completely gone. It only takes one wave to cleanse it all. And the closer you walk to the water, the faster your marks will erase. Have you ever noticed that, like, the closer you walk to the sea and a beach and you turn back, it's almost like the footsteps are gone. Jesus is the water of life. And the closer you walk with him, the faster and the easier your marks will be erased. And the good thing about it is that you don't have to pay money for it. It's not going to be shipped to you by UPS. It's all free. You just have to ask and truly be sorry about it, and he will forgive you. Because God already paid for your sins. He paid with it, with the blood he spilled on the cross for us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you as sinners, begging for forgiveness and mercy. Lord, help us to do whatever you want us to. Send your Holy Spirit to help change us to become like you in every way, and to help us not commit the same mistakes twice. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
En el monte Calvario estaba una cruz, emblema de afrenta y dolor. Y yo amo esa cruz, donde murió Jesús, por salvar al más vil pecador. Oh, yo siempre amaré a esa cruz. En sus triunfos mi gloria será. Y algún día, en vez de una cruz, mi corona Jesús me dará. Tú de trophies set exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a
morning and happy Sabbath. Let us pray before I begin. Dear Heavenly Father, please bless us as we look at what you have written and what you have inspired other people to write. And please speak through me, Lord. And in your name we pray. Amen. So this is just a little testimony of mine. It happened earlier this week, and I was really down at the beginning of this week. I felt like God just totally turned his back on me, and just I felt alone and empty, and I felt like there was nobody there to help me. And on Wednesday night, I was in the dorm at Milo on my hallway, outside my door, and I was talking to one of my friends, and I didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, I heard my phone ring in my room, and it was my mother calling me. And she just said, you know, I felt impressed to call you and talk to you. And we talked, and I just laid everything out on the table, you know, just feel like God's turning his back, you know, I just feel so alone. And she immediately replied, she said, God never turns his back on us, but it is us who push him away through our own selfish interests. And, you know, I've heard this before, and, you know, it did mean something to me, but I didn't know what. And we started talking about Jesus' life on earth and, you know, how he loved us so much to come down and die for us. And that's always been, you know, another story. It's been a good story for me, but I've never really, like, felt like a blazing fire for that story. And I read this Ellen White, part of Ellen White's writing. And it says, the angels ascribe honor and glory to Christ, for even they are not secure except for looking at the sufferings of the Son of God. It is through the efficiency of the cross that the angels of heaven are guarded from apostasy. Without the cross, they would be no more secure against evil than were the angels before the fall of Satan. Angelic perfection failed in heaven. Human perfection failed in Eden, the paradise of bliss. All who wish for security in earth or heaven must look to the Lamb of God. And I read that, and, you know, that made me feel like there was something more there. Not only did God come down to die for us, but for the whole universe, to really show them his true love and grace. And that really helped me a lot. And then she also expands on how big of a gift it was. She writes, the Lord would be so bountiful toward his human family that it could not be said of him that he could have done more. When he gave Jesus to our world, he gave all heaven. His love is without parallel. And it did not stop short of everything. And after I read that, just, it hit me, you know. after God gave us that big of a gift, he gave all of heaven, after giving that, why would he turn his back on us? Why would he just leave us? Well, he wouldn't. And I refuse to believe that now. And my new hope and prayer every day is that we all will accept this and remember the gift of Calvary and what it truly means and how big of a gift it really is. And I would like to end with one more Ellen White writing. She said, "Without the cross, man could not have a connection with the Father. On it hangs our every hope. In view of it, the Christian may advance with the steps of a conqueror, for from it streams the light of the Savior's love. When the sinner reaches the cross and looks up at the one who died to save him, he may rejoice in fullness of joy, for his sins are pardoned. Kneeling at the cross, he has reached the highest place to which man can attain. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. And the words of pardon are spoken, 'Live, O ye sinners, live.'" Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please be with us, Lord, and let us truly remember what you did for us. And please be with us as we continue this new week, and may we honor you and just lead us and guide us, Lord. And in your name we pray, amen.